you talked very eloquently about what it was like to tell your wife that you had this potentially terminal disease called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And she's lived through your whole period of time where you really had a struggle to take another breath. And then now the transplant era. This whole experience just underlines the critical importance of a caregiver, an advocate who is there with you one step after another, in your case, one breath after another. What advice would you give to the patient about the value and the importance of making sure that your spouse is able to communicate?
I think this is critically important for patients, especially as they're going through this. And you mentioned two of the most important concepts or paradigms for a spouse, a partner, somebody that's supporting you through this. The role of caregiver and advocate is, it was evolving for my wife. She had never been in a role like this. And so it added tremendous stress, as you can imagine, to her life emotionally and physically. Also as a mom of four and having to manage that as well. And so I think any way that, and as a patient, it's hard. It's hard to be the encouragement that that person needs as a caregiver, but the caregiver needs support. Whether this comes from other family or friends or faith and through a church or whatever, this is where you can't understate the value of the emotional support that's needed to underpin not just the patient, but the support structure and network of care for that patient, because it's easy to get emotionally spent throughout this process, especially when this is not acute. This is a chronic condition, and then you have a transplant, and then it's chronic after. So it's the sustainability and finding ways to, and allowing, and for my wife, for her, if she was here, she'd probably say allowing herself to be cared for through this process. And it's easy to get isolated in this. And we were very fortunate and blessed to have the family and the friends that we had. And I could spend hours talking about all of the ways that our family, friends, people at work, those we knew, those at our church, just really rallied around us during this time. And it's a tremendous part of the care and healing and quality of life for the patient and for their family.
When we've had conversations with couples or pairs, if I may use that word, there and have interviewed them separately and then together, there are a lot of lessons that one learns. There are a cascade of emotions of fear that one's going to lose, in this case, the patient. There's anger, quite frankly, that it's, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to us? There's guilt by even having that emotion.
That's right.
There is exactly what you've described, the need for caregiver care, which is incredibly important because caregivers become exhausted, especially if they're having to be the wage earner and a caregiver for the patient and a parent if you have children. So, and then the caregiver feels at once the need for care, but on the other hand, guilty that they're taking up care from the patient. And then there's depression in trying to get through all of this. And having those conversations about those kinds of emotions, fear, guilt, anger, exhaustion, depression, are really important conversations to have as one goes through these phases.
Yeah, you bring up something that it came into my mind. Part of the orchestra, again, of care and transplant care here. And for me, it was the psychiatric piece and meeting with some of our psychiatrists here and even working through this and preparing us even before the transplant and after for some of the things that we would face on that front. So it's good to have those sounding boards there and the third-party objective sounding boards to help you through that process.